Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to see you all here. My name is Mary Lutz. I hail from Texas, but I've lived in New York City for quite some time. I have no financial or commercial relationships to disclose. Today, you're going to hear about a survey that was conducted. It was the second of its type being conducted in West Harlem. And we say your priorities for health and well-being are geolocated. You'll see why in just a moment. The West Harlem Pedestrian Survey was conducted along with Manhattan Community Board 9 in that area, and was a service learning experience for 12 students who worked with me throughout that semester. New York City has 59 community districts. These are basically neighborhoods composed of around 20 to 25 census tracts each. They are supposed to contain no more than 250,000 persons per community district. So you see that we're dealing with a pretty massive size population here. We were invited, actually, by Community Board 9 to come to conduct a pedestrian survey of the needs of the community after they had seen what we had done in Central Brooklyn. This report is going to focus on the Community District 9, which is composed of Hamilton Heights, in which you have a piece of City College, where I'm affiliated, Manhattanville, which has another piece of the New York City College, and Morningside Heights, which contains all of the Columbia University campus and properties. So it's a densely academic area. In addition to these, there's Union Theological, Jewish Theological, Bank Street College of Education. All of those are contained within this particular community district. At the same time, you have a relatively great number of people who are in poverty residences, who earn less than 50% of the median income for 2010. And you'll see these census tracts in gray, those that qualify for community development monies, federal monies. The ones in white are surrounding the Columbia University area in Morningside Heights. Just give you a little sense of this geography. We surveyed all 21 census tracts in random order and on random days. I'm going to give you a very brief tour of West Harlem. Okay, up at 12 o'clock, you have the City College campus. 1 o'clock is the Hamilton Heights, beautiful old brownstones, wonderfully preserved. At 3 o'clock, you have the Riverside Piers. It's a long park that goes along the Hudson River. Part of it is right there in across from the City College campuses. Below that, you have some of the newer construction that's being done, jowl and cheek to the old brownstones in the Manhattanville area. There's a lot of new building in that area. 6 o'clock is the 125th Street, the main commercial artery that goes through the center of this census district and through the middle of the community district itself. Okay. Next to that, do we have any Columbia grads here? Okay, I am too. Okay. Next to that, you have the steps going up to Lowe Library on Columbia campus. Above that, you have the 125th Street elevated bridge. It's one of the few areas where the subway goes above ground. And then on 125th Street to the farthest end of it are the General Grant houses, which during the course of our survey, in the middle of the survey, there was a murder of a young athlete in that building. So that did not help the rates on concerns about crime. Anyway, Now, I wanted to give you a little bit fuller picture of the diversity within Community District 9, okay? When you look across, you see that only English at home, okay, is really the only area where it goes more than half is Morningside Heights, okay? Now, the other language that predominates in the area is Spanish. We conducted our interviews both in English and in Spanish. So, the family households, okay, again, you have a difference between Hamilton Heights, Manhattanville, and the Morningside Heights area with fewer family households. Of those who are now enrolled in college or in graduate school, this is from the American survey, but it's recent enough data, okay, almost 80% of those households that are not even family households for the most part, okay, have someone now enrolled in college or in graduate school in Morningside Heights. Okay, not so for the other two. And for those that have a BA or higher, you know, it's exactly what you would expect. almost 65% for Morningside Heights versus 19% and almost 30% for Hamilton Heights. So we have fewer families, more educated individuals and families, okay, and more likely to speak English at home in the Morningside Heights household. The Hamilton Heights and Manhattanville have more families, less education, and they're less likely to speak another language at home other than English. Our survey characteristics. In one semester, we surveyed 1,117 interviewees who were able to respond to our survey. This is a pedestrian survey, so we went on the streets, census tract by census tract, and conducted these 5 to 10 minute surveys with the individuals. Weekdays and weekends were randomly selected, and we randomly selected the order of the census tracts. This occurred between October 15th and December 10th. December 10th, we had a little bit of snow, so this was discouraging to the population. So we called it the end of the survey that day. We had achieved our sample size that we actually needed, so everybody went to the Apollo Theater. You have distributed, I don't know how many were able to get copies of it, but the survey itself looks pretty detailed. And this was an interview. This was a face-to-face interview. The students were trained for 3 weeks prior to going out in the field to be able to conduct this as a research interview. And they did an extraordinary job. Okay. The portion that I'm going to talk about has to do with the seriousness of the problems and what they offered as their own open-ended responses. Okay, you see that these have three categories for responses: not a problem, a moderate problem, or a serious problem. Okay, we were interested in the moderate and serious problems, what people identified as those, because that would, we hoped, show up as their priorities in the questions that we asked them that were open-ended. Okay, with these three set of responses possible, okay, we were asking them basically not how serious it was for them personally, not for their families, people they knew, but for the neighborhood. So our real intent was to look at what people saw as serious problems in the neighborhood. Okay. And our results, and you know, it wasn't too surprising to us that housing and jobs, unemployment, inadequate housing, overcrowding, those two dominated the field in terms of our set answers that could be given to people, our interviewers. And then up from that you had homelessness, which could also be seen as a housing issue. Alcohol and drug use, hunger, shortage of recreational programs, crime, mental illness, poor education, teen pregnancy, and lack of help or special health care for the elderly. That covered the top 10 of the issues, okay? And as you see, it goes the gamut of all of our possible responses that we offer to people, okay? So here you go. 89% unemployment. This is just a reiteration of what you saw before, but maybe it was a little too small for you to see if you have eyes like mine. And unaffordable housing, 85%, okay, 80%. Homelessness and evictions, alcohol, drug use, hunger, okay. Moving down this, looking at it, you know, you could say all of these are part of the social determinants of health, every single one of them, right? But did people identify these as health problems? No, they don't. They identify them as environment issues or that that's part of you know, the downturn in the economy and so on. Okay, I'm gonna, it's not, it doesn't want to move on. Let me see. Okay. So the major issue was what did they feel were the most important things to change in the community right now? So we were getting at the top priorities. Okay, again, you get the unemployment and housing issues coming up first. And we were curious then with regards to the health care and health food, hunger, okay? These come down the list. So where were these particular problems the greatest, okay? You see in these two graphs, the darker the census tract is, the higher the response rate was. But it's spread all over throughout the district for jobs and housing. Health and mental health showed up on primarily two places. There's a lot of zeros in the area that we thought, you know, we would find some of this because there's homelessness is an issue for some of that area. But the two census tracts that had the greatest, 7.1% in census tract 199, which is down near 110th Street, 110th Street and the Riverside, and 5.9% in 225, which is part of Hamilton Heights. Okay, I have to go a little fast because I'm running out of time here. The changes in those populations have been rather considerable, a gain of 10.9% in the 2010 census and a loss of 8.6% in 225. So loss in the Hamilton Heights area and gain in the 199 area. There was some moderate and luxury income housing that was built in 2010 and 199. So they're different. And the 225, it has significantly more people of Hispanic origin. 199, the lower one, has far more whites and fewer African Americans. Okay, and how do these people rate their own health? This was another issue we wanted to look at that's on your survey there. And we used the usual scale for that, self-rated health, and they differed in the value that they placed on behavioral and social health and the value of concrete health services. Okay. So this was their own health compared to all of the rest. The blue is all of the rest of the census, the community district, all of the census tracts in Community District 9. On the right side, you have stacked. The lower part is the 225, the Hamilton Heights group, and then above that you have 199. So in terms of the overall picture, it looks pretty similar, but when you look at what it is that they're saying about their health individually, the fair and good in the 225 is remarkably different from people in the 199. Okay, so their 225 rate their health lower than 199. And this is what we looked at in terms of the individual serious problems, okay? Mental illness, teen pregnancy, and alcohol and drugs were seen as being big problems, okay, in 199. Not so big serious problems in 225. But the 225 differed in terms of their emphasis on concrete health needs, okay? Mental health, teen pregnancy, and alcohol and drugs were concerns for 199. Hunger, emergency, long-term care, home care, Medicare, and Medicaid were priorities for 225. Real concrete needs. Okay. So in terms of considerations for planning, I'm wrapping it up. The communities ought to be represented and consulted in refunding, defunding, and building. Okay. The health and other priorities differ within small areas, and the people may define health in many different ways. So the moral of the story is disaggregation is vital, and don't assume one size fits all. Thank you very much.